Pass through the floor is yours.
Well, happy Sabbath to all of you.
Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, Pastor.
Well, let me tell you that this Sabbath is very, very, and I mean it when I say Amen. Very, very special. It is very special for me. This Sabbath, it's I don't know. I wasn't, in a way, I could have never imagined this Sabbath to be like the one it's going to be today. Why do I say that? Not only because I could see all of you. I have all the little screens here. I see all your faces. I know some of you that are I believe you have your cameras turned off. And I know we have people also that are connected through YouTube, because we're doing this through YouTube live as well. So I praise God. Remember when I said, even though the church building is closed, the church remains opened.
Amen.
But Amen. One thing that I want to say this morning is that I'm very, very happy. Happy, 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 happy. I got that opportunity yesterday afternoon to hear Geelong practicing his song. I'm pretty sure you enjoyed it this morning. And I'm very pleased, you know, that God puts people talents, and at the same time, people are willing to use those talents. So praise the Lord for that, and I'm very happy to see that. I also want to tell you that I'm happy because there is someone connected with us today. Some of you have heard about him. Some of you have prayed for him, especially in our Wednesday prayer meeting. But for those of you that don't know who I'm talking about, his name is actually Juan Valmori. And he is my cousin. I don't know, Sam, there it is. He's on the spotlight right there. That, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I introduce to you my cousin.
Amen.
And guess what? He is in Canada. So he is connected with us all the way from Canada. Juan, will you raise your hand and say hello to your brothers and sisters in Christ here in California?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Welcome. Welcome.
Yes, Amen. Welcome.
Your new family.
Yes. Welcome
Praise
to
the Lord. Christ. No, it's so unbelievable. I didn't even know I had a cousin all the way in Canada. But it is through, you know, God's mercy. It is through God's grace that we know this. And him and I, we have embarked in a deep Bible study. And I know deep in his heart, he has accepted Jesus.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for that. And by the way, Juan Valmori, there is someone that is actually a member of our church that is actually from Canada, April. I know April is connected as well. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord that we could, in a way, God has provided this means to be able to connect with our brothers and sisters all over the world. I also wanna say to you this morning, especially for those that maybe didn't have that opportunity to join the Sabbath School early this morning, what a beautiful lesson. I don't know if you get the whole, or the main theme of this lesson, which was seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. For those of you that actually missed it, I just want to add briefly, and if you missed it, this is maybe something that will remind you why God, in a way, used you and I as a vessel. But for those also that actually studied the lesson and maybe forgot about most or everything that you read, I just wanna put a little emphasis on what this whole topic about seeing people through the eyes of Jesus, because it's important for us to realize and to see how Jesus see people. So Jesus actually saw people with sympathy. He considered each person a life to save. He saw what they will become if they accepted salvation. In other words, just remember this quote, whatever I just mentioned. He saw what they will become if they accepted salvation. See, Jesus doesn't look at people the way they look right now. People doesn't look at people as sinners, dirty, filthy. No, Jesus look to everybody on how they will look or what they will become if they accepted salvation. So each person is actually valuable and unique for Jesus. Therefore, he treated everyone in a special way, and he didn't despise no one. So let's learn to treat others like Jesus did, my brothers and sisters. Let's learn to see others through the eyes of Jesus, because seeing through others through Jesus' eyes means to see everyone as a candidate for the kingdom of heaven and treating them accordingly. So to be successful witnesses, my brothers and sisters, because this is actually that encouragement. You know, this is the action that we need to take. This is the lesson that we need to learn. This is what we need to practice. So to be successful witnesses, we must ask the Holy Spirit for this kind of vision so that we, just the way that Jesus looked through his eyes, we could see other people through those very same eyes. So let's witness to everyone. And remember, it starts where?
Home.
Starts in your place.
Yes.
It starts with those people around you, close to you. Okay, well, let's just get real quick into the topic for today. I want to thank Kiyoko for, you know, sharing with the kids. And I know we're all children of God, right?
Amen.
And you have a glance of what actually heaven, you know, is going to look like. As a matter of fact, let me tell you that this is my favorite topic. And it should be the favorite topic for everybody in the Bible. A place mm-hmm. called heaven. Have you ever imagined that? Have you ever imagined that place? How does it look like? Mm-hmm. How will it be? Now, I would like to propose to you, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure you're seeing through the screen now, the slides. Because I would like to, in a way, to relax today. I will be showing you all that the biblical scriptures, you know, what the Bible says about this place called heaven. So I want you to, in a way, concentrate. Just leave on the side everything that you're thinking about right now. We know that we live in a day of turmoil. Yes, you turn the TV, you turn into the news, you turn into the cell phones, into the internet or whatever. And everything that will show up, everything that will pop up in the media is chaos. Chaos all over. Pain, suffering, unjust, everywhere, in every corner, you could see that. But today, my proposition to you is, let's leave that on the side. Will you? Leave that on the side. Because,
amen.
Of course, you know, the Bible encourages, the Bible tells us these things are going to happen. Remember what we have been, what I have been preaching about. You know, the last sermons, you know, I preached to you about the millennium. I preached to you about what will happen prior to the millennium. Yes, you think that this pandemic it's something that it's gonna bring the end to this world? No, my brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that there is more to come. But let's not just concentrate on what is coming. Yes, it's necessary for us to learn and to know what's coming in a way so that we could prepare ourselves. But knowing all those things and just concentrating on those things is not going to help you. What really is going to help you to be prepared, to be ready, is to read and to learn about what is coming, because something good is coming, and it's coming very, very soon. So the subject of heaven has captured the attention of men and women all over the world for centuries. What is heaven really like? That's the question that everybody asks. Does it even exist? Some people even ask that question. If so, where is it? And what is like there? So some people don't believe in heaven, believe it or not. There's a lot of people that believe in heaven. Others said there are three heavens or even seven. Some say you go to heaven when you die. Others say, no, you go to a place called what? The purgatory first. Then maybe later you will go to heaven. Some say heaven is not a real place, but just a state of mind. There are those who believe that eventually everyone or everybody will end up in heaven. Some said very few people will make it there. So much confusion, my brothers and sisters. So many opinions. Why all these different opinions about heaven? Why all these various opinions and theories when the Bible makes it crystal, and I will probably say crystal clear, because the Bible do make it crystal clear about what heaven it's all about. In fact, do you know that the Bible is full of details about heaven? Did you know that? Have you had that experience? Have you ever read it? Have you ever prayed about it? See, God wants us to know what heaven is like, so we will determine to be there. So that's the reason why show us. That's what God described heaven in the Bible, so that we long to be there. So heaven, my brothers and sisters, is not a secret place that God is keeping from us. So God, in a way, has a master key that unlocks the mysteries about heaven. And that master key is what? The Bible. Our only reliable source of information. See, fortunately, we don't have to depend on human theories or opinions. We don't have to be confused what the real truth is about heaven. See, that Apostle Peter wrote about this source of information in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 19. Look at what Peter says. We have the prophetic word confirmed. So imagine that. Peter is trying to tell us that we do have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning stars rises in your heart. See, my brothers and sisters, God has revealed in his word where heaven will be. What heaven will be like. Where is the capital of heaven? What people will do there? What people will be like there? Where the saved will live? What the capital city will look like? So now let's take God's master key, the Bible, and discover a very real future that God has prepared for his followers. For those that, in a way, believe in God. See, in the Bible, the last book of Revelation, God himself revealed to John a picture of the future. See, John described what he actually saw. So let's turn into the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, now I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, the Bible said, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See, a few scenes presented such a happiness and beauty as that of a bride preparing for her wedding day. I know some of you that has been married. I don't know if you could remember how the scene, how that day was. Because believe me, the Bible presents this scene as such a happy moment, such a happy and beauty as that of a bride preparing for her wedding day. So this heavenly home is not something that only John saw. All of God's prophets throughout the ages have known about it, and they have also have listened to what heaven will be look like. So let's turn to now to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Look at what the Bible said. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So what actually is God going to restore is the question. See, God is going to restore everything. In other words, Adam and Eve lost, right? So God is going to restore everything that Adam and Eve actually lost. See, the earth came from the hands of the Creator, the Creator in a splendor and perfection, a beautiful beyond description place. See, the Creator himself had designed and decorated Adam and Eve's home, the Garden of Eden, a paradise. God has given them the dominion of the earth. They had perfect health, love, happiness, joy, and face-to-face fellowship with God. See, everything was peace and harmony. They will never get sick or die if they choose to obey God's instruction. And his instructions were what? Don't eat of the forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden, or you will what? You will die. That was actually God's direction for Adam and Eve. But they choose, my brothers and sisters, to eat of the tree. They were disobedient. They listened to a cruel, deceiving, rebel angel named Satan rather than listening to a loving, caring God. See, afterward, for the first time in their life, they felt guilty, ashamed, and afraid. It was the most tragic day in the history, my brothers and sisters, of this world. By their disobedience, they lost everything, their garden home, their dominion of earth, and access to the tree of life. Without being able to eat of the tree of life, they would eventually, like the Bible said, die. See, no longer did they have eternal life. Their happiness, love, and fellowship with the Creator will also end. Our perfect world became, I will probably describe it, blighted with the curse of sin. See, earth became a place of sorrow and suffering and disease and death. No longer masters, Adam and Eve became what? Slaves. Do you, in a way, recognize this place? Isn't that the place that we're living in these days? A place of sorrow, a place of suffering, a place of disease, a place of death. See, that's what it was lost. That beautiful place, that beautiful world that God created. since the beginning, we lost. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 16. Look what the Bible said. Paul says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves a slave to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey?" See, by a loving, caring God understood our condition. The serpent had deceived Adam and Eve. God loved them so much that he couldn't leave his erring children without hope. So at the gate of the garden, God promised Adam and Eve that one day his son, the seed of the woman, will come and die for them so they could be restored to the family of God and have eternal life. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Believe it or not, if you love prophecies, if you love reading about prophecies, if you love hearing about prophecies, guess what? This is the first prophecy that we find in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, look at what the Bible said. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. As generation passes, and then men multiplied on earth, sin, my brothers and sisters, also multiply." See, mankind has almost forgotten God and his promise. People became vile and immortal. That's what the Bible tells us. If you continue reading in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great," where? "In the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And my brothers and sisters, that has not stopped yet. Evil continues, and it will continue until the end. So it finally became necessary, my brothers and sisters, for God to destroy the wicked by the great flood in order to preserve life on the earth. Remember the story. Only 8 people survived on that global flood. See, after the great flood, it wasn't many generations before people became corrupt again. So in order to preserve a holy people on earth, God called Abraham and his family out of that wicked place and corrupt place of order of the Chaldeans. See, his family will doubtless have become wicked also, and had they stayed in that city. So let's read what Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says. "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" You see, Abraham was willing to leave the luxury of his Chaldean home. He didn't know where he was going, but he did have a glimpse of what God had in store for him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10 reminds us and tells us, "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is" who? "Is God." See, God promised to give to Abraham and his children all that Adam and Eve has lost. The prophets, my brothers and sisters, of all ages, believe and look forward to the restoration of all things. See, God lists some of the Bible's hall of faith, I call it. And you know what that Bible hall of faith is? That chapter about the hall of faith? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the Bible hall of faith. See, Abraham, Enoch, Noah, Abel, Isaac, Rahab, David, and Samuel are just a few of the great people of faith who believe in God's promise to restore what Adam and Eve lost. Notice what the Bible says about these heroes in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go real quick and read chapter 11, verse 13, and then we'll read also verse 16. Look at what the Bible says. These all die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What a beautiful promise, my brothers and sisters. What a beautiful promise. See, Isaiah, the greatest of all messianic prophets, give us a thrilling description of that restoration God has prepared. Let's take a look at the things God revealed to Isaiah. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 17. Look at what the Bible said. For behold, I create new heaven and what? And a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And let's turn into Isaiah 60. Let's go back. Now, a few more chapters, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. And again, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. See, just think. A place where there is no violence. There's only peace. There's only harmony. Isn't that wonderful to think about a place like that? I don't know if you've ever been in this earth, in a place where there is no violence, where there is only peace, where there is only harmony. I don't know if you've ever been there. I mean, I've been, you know, to certain places, like in the nature. You know, when I go and visit nature, and I don't know if you have that opportunity, and you disconnect from all these things of the world, and you just concentrate in that nature. And if you haven't tried it, I ask you to try it. Go to the nature. Go to a forest. And just relax for a moment there. Close your eyes. And you will feel how peaceful it feels. Now, do you imagine a place like that for eternity, where there is no need, in other words, to find weapons to defend and protect ourselves? No rapists or thieves. And won't it be wonderful to walk those streets of gold and not worry about being attacked or robbed? But that isn't all that the prophet can tell us. If we go back now in chapter 11, in the same book of Isaiah, now chapter 11, verse 6, look at what it says. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and a little child shall lead them. I mean, where have you seen a picture like this? Where? Now, can you imagine a beautiful place like that? Now, let's listen to what else the Bible has to say about planet Earth when it is finally restored to its original beauty. So let's move now to the book of Isaiah chapter 33. And let's read now verse 24. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 24. And the inhabitant should not say, I am sick. Can you imagine, my brothers and sisters, what the Bible is actually describing about heaven? What the Bible is telling us is that there is this place where there is no heart attacks, no cancer, no coronavirus, no allergies, just perfect health for eternity. Praise the Lord. Now, in Isaiah 35, verse 5, the Bible says, then the eyes of the blind shall be what? Opened. No doubt, the first thing the formerly blind will want to see will be the face of Jesus. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what a glorious day that will be for those who were blind. What a glorious day. Can you imagine when that day comes of restoration? The blind, the first time when they open their eyes, the first thing that they're going to be looking at will be the face of Jesus. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those people that died in Jesus Christ? That day when they are actually going to be resurrected. That day when they're actually going to be awakened from their tombs. The first thing that they will see as they resurrect will be the glorious face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How many of you say, praise the Lord for that? And in verse 6 of the same chapter, then the lame shall leap as a deer. See, no more wheelchairs any longer. No more crutches. Everyone will have perfect bodies, my brothers and sisters. Everyone. See, if you are complaining about your body right now, see, in that place, you know, you don't have to complain any longer that you have put more weight. You don't have to complain of what you're going to eat because everything is going to be so perfect. Let's go. Now, in verse 6, look what it says. And the tongue of the dumb sing. See, not only will they talk, but they will sing. What a happy day that will be, my brothers and sisters. But that's not all. There is even more wonderful news. So in the same chapter, now let's go back to the first verse of chapter 35. The wilderness, the wasteland should be glad for them, and that the desert should rejoice and blossom as the rose. What a beautiful and magnificent place the new earth, my brothers and sisters, will be. So let's continue reading what the Bible. Isn't this so exciting? This is the reason why I say this is the best topic. This is my favorite topic in the Bible, my brothers and sisters. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61, actually 65, verse 21 and 22. Look at what it says. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruits. They shall not build. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so they should be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their what? Hands. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it certainly sounds as if heaven will be a real, but I'm talking about a real place with real people doing real things. Isn't that what the Bible describes? Isn't that what we just read? In fact, we will have our own names and people will know us. Every single person that is going to be there will know who you really are. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22 and 23 describes, For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. Says who? Says the Lord. See, the new earth will be a happy place, my brothers and sisters, a joyful place for God and his people. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise, my brothers and sisters. You don't know how much I long to be in that place. I can't wait any longer. I long to be in that place. But let's continue. Let's continue learning. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. Look at what it says. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall flee what? Away. Doesn't that sound exciting to you? Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is so exciting. This is so beautiful. This is so wonderful, my brothers and sisters. It will be a wonderful, a joyful celebration as the saved come each Sabbath to the holy city to praise and sing and have fellowship. See, I don't want to come and fellowship with this coronavirus to be afraid that I'm going to get contaminated or I'm going to contaminate my brothers and sisters. No, my brothers and sisters, this place that the Bible is describing, you don't need that any longer because it will be a wonderful, joyful place to celebrate every time when we go to that city, when we are there. From Sabbath to Sabbath, that's what the Bible says. From Sabbath to Sabbath, every time we go to that city, when we're there, my brothers and sisters, we will be praising and singing and fellowship with one another without even worry about time, without even worry about virus, without even worrying about what is it for potluck. That is a wonderful place. Jesus said he is building us each a mansion. Can you believe that? You worry about what house you're building on this earth? Oh no, my brothers and sisters, don't waste your time on that. Concentrate. Put your mind, put your heart in that beautiful place. Because God is preparing, the Bible says, a place for you and I, a place for your family that is going to, a mansion, a house that it actually will be built by Jesus' own hands. A place that will never be destroyed. See, Isaiah said that we also will be building houses there. But not the way we build houses here on earth, on this planet. It seems that perhaps we will have a country home that we ourselves will build. And then each weekend we will go to the capital of the new earth and use our mansion in that city that Jesus has built for us. See, the Bible picture of heaven is clear. God will create a new heaven, a new earth. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, my brothers and sisters, will descend, the Bible said, from God out of heaven. See, earth, this planet, in rebellion, fallen by sin, will become the capital of the whole universe. It may surprise you, but this earth is to be the future home of the saved. Jesus stated this way. Let's turn to Matthew now, chapter 5, verse 5. Look at what the Bible said. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? The earth. Now, God is going to restore planet Earth to its original perfection. And what a glorious new earth that will be, my brothers and sisters. Perhaps you will remember some of the wonderful promises that Jesus gave to his disciples and followers of all ages just before he returned to heaven. Just seconds before he actually ascended to heaven. This was Jesus' promise. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Look at what Jesus' promise was. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come what? I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may what? Also be. See, even in the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, my brothers and sisters, it describes that promise that Jesus gave to his disciples. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth and where else? And it is also in heaven. So here we see that Jesus asked us to pray for the restoration of all things. Now let's consider in more detail, because this is fascinating, my brothers and sisters. This is fascinating. It gives me chills just to read what the scripture, what the Bible says about this topic. So let's consider more details, the magnificent city, that wonderful city that the Bible is describing. See, John saw it in vision. So it seems as if the prophet had a hard time finding words even to describe, even to express the magnificence of the holy city. But let's see what the Bible says about this city. Let's turn our Bibles now to 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Look at what it says. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. But wait a minute. Most people fail to read the next verse that says, but God has revealed them to us through what? Through his spirit. See, most people just read the first part of verse 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, eye has not seen, nor ears have heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, no one has seen that. But guess what? The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, through the God Spirit, we actually could see what actually that city will look like. See, God has revealed these things by the Holy Spirit to the prophets who wrote them down for us. And no doubt, the half has not been even told. So my beloved, that's the way it was with the same way I would probably say it was with John and Isaiah and all the prophets. It is all true that half has not been told yet. When John actually unfolds the details of the city, it seems just too fabulous to be true. But we have God's word for it. And here's what John saw. Because John said that he saw a new heaven, a new earth, and that there was no more sea. Then he saw the holy city descending out of heaven. Then he tells us about this city. So let's turn now to the last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. And we will read verse 1 through 3. And also we will read verse 11, verse 17, and verse 21. You could highlight those verses, my brothers and sisters. Highlight those verses. So that every time you see this sinful world, every time you see this injustice that we're facing, every time you see sorrow, every time you see pain, every time you see killings here, there, destruction everywhere, my brothers and sisters, these verses should actually give you hope that something new is yet to come. So let's turn. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 3. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no what? No more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be what? Their God. Now, verse 11, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. In verse 17, then he measured its wall 144 cubits, 66 meters. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. So there are pearly gates. Verse 21, a great in height. If we go to now verse 12, it will describe us. A great and high wall and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Then in verse 21, the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God give its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Now, let's go to verse 1, 2, and 5. A pure river of water of life, clear and crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. I'm in chapter 22 now, verse 1. Now let's read verse 2. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. There should be no night there. So the throne of God and the Lamb, my brothers and sisters, would be in the capital, New Jerusalem. So let's go to verse 3. And there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and all the Lamb should be in it. And one of the most wonderful gifts is found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Let's just turn back now. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Perhaps, my beloved, you are wondering how big the city is. How big the city is. See, John gives us exact details as to the size of that city. And the city is laid out as a square, right? In length. It is a great as its breadth. And the angel basically that is describing, measure the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. So a furlong is 1/8 of an English mile. That's 12,000 furlongs will be about 2,400 kilometers around. See, the ancient cities were measured by the distance around that outside wall. So the city will be approximately 600 kilometers or 375 miles on each side. And perhaps you are wondering if the city will be large enough for the slaves to fit in there. See, Tokyo has nearly, more than 35 million people living in that city. Greater New York, the city, just the city alone in Greater New York, houses over 20 million or more than 20 million people. See, Mexico City has also nearly more than 20 million in that city. So one mathematician has estimated that the New Jerusalem, however, could house at least 2 billion people. So in other words, there will be room, my brothers and sisters, for everyone who wants to be there. But what will keep us busy in such a wonderful place? A place with no crime, no sickness, no hunger, no disease, just peace and harmony, as we read in the Bible. It sounds as if we will do a lot of things, build our own country dream home, plant our own gardens. See, Jesus, the Creator, will be there to open to us the mysteries of creation. We will always be learning new things. We will be able to travel anytime we wish. We will have time to be with our friends and our loved ones. And each Sabbath, we will be praising God and singing with the angels and Jesus, our special time to fellowship with our Lord. Well, you may ask, how can we be certain that we can be there? See, the answer is simple. Because the Bible, the master key, says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? To the promise." In other words, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, this promise that God gave to Abraham is also your promise, is also my promise. And as we study the Bible, it is interesting to notice that the first three chapters tells us how God created the world and the paradise home for Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve lost it. They lost the paradise. But the last three chapters of the Bible give us a preview of God's plan to restore what Adam and Eve lost. So imagine that, my brothers and sisters. The first three chapters of the Bible, it describes how God created the world at the beginning and how man lost it. But the last three chapters of the Bible give us a preview of God's plan to restore what Adam and Eve lost. Oh, my beloved, when we get a smell of heaven, we will adjust our priorities. When we get a smell of eternity, everything else fits into place. We long for another land. We want to be on eternity shore. Now, the question is, do you want to be there? Is the desire of your heart to live with Christ in glory forever? Will you like to say today, "Yes, Lord, I want to be with you. I long to be with you forever and ever. I want to live with Jesus for eternity." I know one thing. I want to be in that place. I can't wait any longer, my brothers and sisters. I can't wait any longer. See, God is giving you an invitation today. The Spirit and the bride said, "Come." My beloved, don't put it off. Don't put this invitation on the side. You can be a part of God's marvelous, fabulous, wonderful tomorrow. Will you invite Jesus into your heart? That's what we need. Invite Jesus into our hearts, to allow Jesus to live in our hearts. And then heaven will be your home. Heaven will be your place. If you're longing for a place, my brothers and sisters, where there's only peace and harmony, don't long for a place here on earth. Don't long for a place, you know, that you think that you could build out of the sea. Long for a place in heaven. Concentrate on the things in heaven, my brothers and sisters. That is the perfect world. That is heaven. God's promised place for his children. For those that are going to be obedient to the core. For those that accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you are one of those, I will ask you at this very moment, if you would like to get in your feet, or if you want, you could go on your knees. I want to have a prayer. I want to pray for all of us. I want to pray that God will give us that spirit, that God will, in a way, clear our minds, not to concentrate on all those things of this earth, not to concentrate on the chaotic situations of this planet, but to long that beautiful place, that beautiful heaven that is for you and for me. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your Holy Scripture. Thank you, Father, for your promise. Oh, Lord, we know that you have that place. That place is ready for us. What man has lost at the beginning, Father, that beautiful paradise because of sin. Oh, Lord, your promise is that you will restore that place and you will make that place new all over again. But this time, it will be for eternity. But Father, you are giving us that invitation because that place will be worthless if your children, if my brothers and sisters, if myself are not going to be there. So Father, I ask that you bless us. I ask, Father, that you give us the wisdom. I ask, Father, that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we could concentrate on these things that are worthy, these things that are worth a lot, because these things worth eternity, Father. I long to be in that place, Lord, where only peace exists, where there is only harmony, Lord. I long to be there, but I also pray for my brothers and sisters, my family, my friends, my neighbors, and everybody, Father, to be part of the heaven as well. So, Lord, As we wait for your soon return, let us keep visioning, longing, hoping for this beautiful place. In Jesus' most precious name I pray. Amen.